Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms. They're not making any more real estate. But what about the two-thirds of the planet's surface that aren't controlled by any nation state? Yep, we're talking about the ocean. Today, you're going to meet Joe Cork, the president of the Seasteading Institute, as we talk about real estate on the high seas. Today on the Real Estate Guys radio program.
Do you have a self-directed IRA invested in a syndication? Guess what? It's a ticking time bomb. Why? Because IRAs get hit with UBIT taxes, even Roth IRAs. Hi, I'm Damian Lupo, and we fix this problem for you forever. It gets even better because using the EQRP, you can literally get rid of taxes from all of your gains forever and protect your nest egg. The EQRP is the best vehicle to get it done. IRAs can't do it, not even Roth IRAs. You see, UBIT happens whenever any type of IRA invests in anything with debt. Don't worry, even if your IRA is already invested in a deal, we can kill that tax. Our team at Total Control Financial is here to give you control of your retirement money and free you from that deadly IRA tax forever. Want to learn more about the EQRP? Send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com. I'll email you my special report and send you a copy of the QRP book. Paying a 37% UBIT tax is stupid. First step to getting rid of that tax is to send an email to eqrp@realestateguysradio.com today.
Welcome to the Real Estate Guys radio show. I'm your host, Robert Helms. With me, as usual, co-host financial strategist Russell Gray.
Hey, Robert.
We love all kinds of real estate, and at this year's Investor Summit at Sea, we expanded that quite a bit when we had a chance to meet the gentleman you're going to hear from today. His name is Joe Cork, and he was a last-minute add. We were getting ready to head off for our summit, which is our amazing annual event. We had all kinds of incredible people and faculty and plans, and one of our summiteers, a guy who's been with us many, many years, over a dozen years, said, "Hey, I just met this guy. It's a fascinating topic. We've got to have him on the summit." And we all moved heaven and earth to make that happen. And Joe was absolutely captivating.
Yeah, it was really interesting. You know, when you first told me about it, I thought, gee, that idea is all wet. Anyway, so I'll be here all week, by the way. But no, really, I mean, it really is fascinating. And of course, I'm a student of history. I study history from an economic perspective because I really do think that money is what moves people around. And it's not just money, but it's opportunity. It's the desire to improve your lot in life, the desire to be free, to have choices. And so I think I'm probably more libertarian than almost anything else. And you look sometimes and you look around the world and you realize most of the people that are going to gravitate to the Real Estate Guys podcast or radio show or come to our events, they're people that are individualists. They, you know, are out of the box thinkers. They're not investing necessarily in Wall Street and just checking the 401k box and forgetting about it, but they're interested in learning about how to be a smarter investor, a better investor. And after the things that happened to us in 2008, it opened up this idea that, hey, we need to pay attention to the bigger picture and what's going on around the world. And when you start to really do that, and then you go back into the context of studying money and governments and property rights and just the human evolution in modern times and what that really translates to in terms of your own personal opportunity, the topic became really, really interesting to me because it's almost like going back in a time capsule and imagining yourself being in Europe, England and that entire period of time when people were feeling persecuted and they just wanted to get away from kind of organized society and they wanted to just go to the new world where it's free and there's no rules and we're going to figure it out. And you try and get inside the mind of people like that. You think, why would anybody do that? Can you imagine getting in some like rickety little wooden boat and just sailing off across the Atlantic Ocean and hoping you make it and then landing and there's nothing here waiting for you. You've just got to carve it out of the wall. That's a spirit I wasn't sure was still alive in the world until we met Joe.
One of the things we did was have Joe as our very first speaker of the entire summit, just to kind of shake people up and get their attention, followed, by the way, by another gentleman we're going to get on the show who had an amazing, amazing message, but we'll save that for another episode. And folks were just amazed, like, what are you talking about? Well, the premise is basically this. The oceans can provide a possible new home for all kinds of folks, ideology, lifestyles, and this isn't just something that is a weird, odd idea. It's been kicking around for many years, and it's really, and Joe used this analogy, much like a cruise ship. A cruise ship is a floating city with restaurants and bars and convention space and things to do and swimming pools, and it's got its own little kind of quasi-government. And this idea that you could go out somewhere in the ocean and create not a homestead, but a seastead is pretty fascinating. Now, the Seasteading Institute, which is the organization that Joe is president of, was founded 10 years ago. We'll hear part of that story from Joe as we go on. So this isn't a brand new idea. What is new is just a couple of weeks before the summit, the very first actual home, an actual seastead, was launched just outside the country of Thailand. And Joe brought some videos, some aerial photos that were taken with a drone, little interview with the couple that bought this house and put it out in the ocean, and it was a great story. We land back on land, and a couple of weeks later, there's this national news story about how the Thai government has forced these folks to leave, and I'm like, wow. I remember you sent me the article, and I said, yeah, I just read it. It's like, wow, all this stuff has happened. What does that mean for seasteading? Well, that's what we'll ask Joe when we come back. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Live nationwide, you're listening to the Real Estate Guys. Find out more at realestateguysradio.com.
Hey, it's Robert Helms. Thanks so much for listening to the show today. I want to personally invite you to come see an amazing real estate market that combines excellent cash flow, offshore diversification, and what we affectionately call lifestyle investing. Come join me from November 15th to 18th in the beautiful country of Belize. The Real Estate Guys have been bringing investors to Belize for more than 14 years now, and our discovery trip is designed to show you the market like nobody else can. Sure, Belize is breathtakingly beautiful. The people are wonderful. And wait till you taste the food. But the real opportunity is the real estate investment potential. 2018 was the biggest year in tourism Belize has ever witnessed, and this year is coming on strong. How does that translate to real estate investment? That's what you have to come see. There's all types of opportunity in Belize, including both long and short-term rentals, commercial and retail triple net properties, business opportunities, land acquisition, development, agriculture, and more. And as the only country in Latin America with English as its official language, it's easy to understand the law. Property rights are strong, and contracts are in English. And in Ambergris Key, a unique situation exists where demand for rentals continues to outstrip supply, creating a compelling environment for investors. So come see for yourself. Join me November 15th through 18th in Ambergris Key, Belize, as we study the market, learn about the sustainable drivers, and tour lots of beautiful real estate. And like all of our field trips, there are no properties for sale during the weekend. Rather, you'll meet lots of local providers that will help educate you about the market so that you can follow up with them after the trip if the market is interesting to you. But that ball's in your court. You'll receive their contact details, but they won't receive yours unless you give it to them. You've heard about Belize and the Real Estate Guys for all these years. Now come see what all the excitement is about. Plus, we'll have lots of time over meals and activities to talk about all things real estate. To get the details, go to the website at realestateguysradio.com and click on events where you'll find the Belize Discovery Trip. Once you register, you'll get information about our group hotel rates as well as travel details. So join me in Belize November 15th through 18th. It's a beautiful country with lots of amazing possibilities, and the only thing missing is you. Go to realestateguysradio.com under events. I look forward to seeing you in beautiful Belize.
Hi, this is Frank Holmes, Chief Investment Officer and CEO of U.S. Global Investors, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program, heard every weekend at this great radio station, all the time at realestateguysradio.com. We love to talk real estate, and the gentleman you're about to meet came on our Investor Summit at Sea this year and blew our minds. You've heard a little bit about what he does if you've heard that episode, but we're going to get into it now with Mr. Joe Quirk. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great.
How is the world of seasteading?
Well, it's very exciting now that I know my friends are still not dead.
That's good. Well, let's have some backstory on that. When you were at the summit, and it was amazing, we got to see the very first seastead, and we talked a little bit before we had Joe on about the concept, but it's not just a theory anymore. It happened, but then a big turn of events happened. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, my friends were able to build the first seastead that's affordable for the average American. As a matter of fact, it costs less than the average American home. It's floating on the high seas. It's basically a tiny home that is very stable in high waves. And it's sort of like, I think of it as the Kitty Hawk moment for seasteaders.
Yeah.
We have created like the small flying plane or the small floating cabin that the average person can live in. And we were planning on scaling up this sort of colonization of the blue frontier.
Right.
And we were all excited and ready to go. And we were more than 12 miles off the coast of Thailand. And investors got excited. A few hundred people signed up to buy some. There were plans for a CB&B.
That's great.
The leading aquatect, Koen Uthuis, designed like an underwater restaurant where you'd be looking out your windows at aquarium. Aquarium windows looking out at the growing biorock. And to everyone's surprise, the Thai Navy took exception to this and raced out there to confiscate the seastead and arrest them. And my friends fled just before they got there. And there was sort of like a manhunt going on. So my poor friends who lived on this seastead have been on the run. So this is quite a turn of events. Now, I have conflicted feelings about this because you can imagine the anxiety that they were undergoing. They were literally charged with the death penalty.
Right.
And all our supporters and friends were in a panic and a tizzy trying to figure out what's going on. But they managed to evade capture, and they're still safe and free and in hiding. But it drew so much attention to the seasteading movement that the number of people interested in buying one has tripled.
Yeah.
And two new countries have expressed interest in possibly hosting one. And we have this amazing morality play playing out before us where there's, you know, the Thai Navy took pictures of themselves pointing cannons at this tiny little floating home made by this couple on a honeymoon, basically. It was something romantic they did. So the international conversation has begun. So I think it's really great for seasteading, though very, very harrowing for my friends.
Well, and it's a point, right? To really get any traction anywhere, you got to test the boundaries. And that's what this was. They thought they were in international waters. And one of the big premises of seasteading is that the vast majority of our Earth's surface is not owned or controlled by any one nation.
Yes.
And the idea that not only could you have a place to live for lots of reasons that seasteading makes sense, just physically and environmentally and all that, but that there's also this whole other side of it, which is imagine creating these pop-up nations of seasteaders who can physically move their seastead based on who they want to be around and how they want to be governed.
Yeah, you really get it. I mean, imagine if you could choose your neighbors. And we like to talk about colonizing Mars. We're going to colonize the other half of this planet, which I like to call Planet Ocean.
Yeah.
You know, more than two-thirds of the Earth's surface is the ocean, and nearly half the world's surface is unclaimed by any existing nation state. So the idea is sort of these little pop-up nano-nations. You know, it's a startup sensibility brought to the problem of governments not doing very well. There's only 193 of them. Well, imagine if you could create a lot more and innovate. So we'd like to unleash all the innovators out there who have better ideas for society, and as long as people can choose among them voluntarily and quit them voluntarily if they don't work by floating their house away, we think we can unleash new innovations.
Now, you guys have been working on this for a while, but I'll tell you, when we had you at very last minute join us on the summit, it was great because the analogy you use is a cruise ship, right? And the way that that creates kind of the captain is the person who's in charge, and there's a whole hierarchy, and we all go along with it, but it's a floating city that has all these services. And so there's a lot of parallels there. But when I got back and I heard this news, the first thing as I thought was, man, they must have struck a chord. Right. Somewhere, somebody, I mean, I don't know, I haven't delved into it completely, but somehow the word got out that this was a bad thing. And to me, it's not about somebody floating a house in the ocean as much as it is the other side of this, which is testing governments' borders.
Yes. And it's all my fault because I made a documentary about them, showing them out there on the ocean, and they're saying provocative things that we're our own little society now, and this is rhetoric in the English language, but the Thai Navy took it very seriously. I think that the Thai Navy's reaction is unique. I don't think other countries in the world will react the same way. An example I use is Sealand, which is like an abandoned military fort off the coast of England,
yep.
where a group of people went out there, you know, 50 years ago and declared their sovereignty, and are a lot more provocative than anything seasteaders are trying to do.
Yeah.
And they make, you know, $600,000 a year just selling, like, titles of nobility and stamps and passports, you know.
And there's nothing there, really, right?
Yeah. I mean,
it's like it's a place people are going to go have a vibrant life. But the cool part, the promise of seasteading is that you really can create this vibrancy and this way of living that in the past, that's what sailors did. They went from port to port to port. They spent time out of the ocean. They got access to all kinds of different cultures. And they would do something like pull up somewhere and say, wow, we really like it here, we'll stay for a while, or oh my gosh, we don't like what they do here, or how they think here, or how they vote here, and we'll leave. And to be able to have these outcroppings of new civilization in a part of the world that has abundance is brilliant thinking. I know you guys have been at it for 10 years now. Let's talk about kind of what comes next. You mentioned there's other countries, and I would think this would happen if people look at Thailand's reaction and say, wait a minute, that's not the reaction we might have. Could we create sort of a symbiotic relationship or figure out a way to have at least some synergy? Where are those discussions leading now?
It was like immediately after this fiasco happened, San Lucia, which is like an island nation in the Caribbean, wrote a big op-ed about could seasteading be profitable for Caribbean nations and making an argument on behalf of that.
Well, that's really fascinating to me because a lot of the Caribbean nations don't produce any kind of product. Take the Cayman Islands. The Cayman Islands produce just one thing, and we were there together at the Cayman Islands. You probably know that's rum cake. They make rum cake in the Cayman Islands. But the reason they have a thriving economy is they recognize that's not going to be enough for us to create any kind of balanced trade. So what cropped up was banking and lawyers and trusts and other services that could be provided. So there's a lot of thinking like that already in the Caribbean. What can we do to attract people, to attract commerce? And this sounds like it might be a natural thing.
Yeah, and I think of the Cayman Islands as a priesthood.
Yeah.
You know, it's an island that frankly takes a fairly spiteful stance towards the U.S. and the EU. They welcome financial mavericks and medical innovations that are not legal. And occasionally there are conflicts. And one of my favorite stories is when Barack Obama gave a speech criticizing the Cayman Islands for being a tax haven. The very next day, the government of the Cayman Islands released a public letter reminding the U.S. of the services they provide. And then after that, they dropped the subject. So that's like, it was like 57,000 people stood up to this mighty nation. So the analogy I use is if nations are sharks, then small island nations and seasteads want to think like cleaner fish. You want to provide a service that the shark appreciates and the shark won't eat you. And the Cayman Islands has been brilliant at doing that and creating a lot of wealth with very few resources, only innovation. So imagine if we could have 1,000 Cayman Islands.
Right. Well, and I think the whole idea has obviously a ton of, you know, merit in the future. One of the challenges has always been the technological side of that. So I know that's an area that you guys have been very front and center with as we look at some of the designs. If you go to seasteading.org, you'll be able to get a great glimpse of this. Of course, before we're done, we'll talk a little about your book about it, which really outlines a lot of the different parameters. But there are already great of these architects who are looking at ways of creating these vibrant societies and interactive pieces and all of that. Talk about the technical side of what it takes to make this happen.
So you can make floating societies. The oil and gas industry does it all the time. They have flotels, they have people play ping pong. The problem is they cost billions of dollars. So the challenge for seasteading has always been, how do you bring the price down such that the average middle-class American can afford one? And that's what Ocean Builders achieved. I mean, this pilot project, it's not too fancy, it's bare bones, but it cost $150,000.
Right.
So now we're talking. Now people are signing up to buy one. Now people are saying, well, maybe we can make it a little more expensive. Maybe this materials innovators are coming in talking about how to make it cheaper. So when you create this kind of platform for new societies, all these innovators come to you with their ideas. So that's what is exciting to me. I think we're off and running. As soon as we find a host nation, we're going to build a lot more of these. And we have architects and designers already making VR walkthroughs of what they're going to look like. I wish I could show you the images. They're going to be available very soon. So awesome. We've inspired a lot of people.
Well, and I think there's so many questions people have. And in fact, on the summit, it was fun because we, you know, gave you a table every night to get in discussions with people and to get their mind around it. And then they all of a sudden think about the practical questions, like how do I get food and what happens, you know, to the bathroom and all that kind of stuff, which I know you cover a ton of that and you're frequently asked questions. In fact, you've got some videos you've done and so forth. But wrestling with that part of it, you've got a technology side that you've got to make sure people feel like they can not only, you know, survive but thrive in this kind of environment.
Yes, and there's so many counterintuitive things to seasteading. I mean, the basic seasteading technology, think of it as like a floating wine bottle where the bottom fifth of it is filled with sand.
Yep.
So it's very heavy, and like four-fifths of it is below the ocean, and one-fifth of it is above the ocean, and your little house is sitting on top of the wine bottle, so you're up above the waves, but there's so much stability down deep that you're basically like stable as a fence post in waves.
Yep.
And you could build this at any size. So once you have something stable and going deep into the ocean, you have a structure to grow coralcrete, to grow a new coral environment. We call it biorock. It's an actual technology.
Yep.
So the more societies you build, the more ecosystems you can create. And then there's like fish farms that people want to build out there. There's seaweed farms, which are, not many people know that seaweed is much more nutritious than corn, wheat, and soy.
Yeah.
And much more environmentally restorative. So there are so many ways our brains have to flip, and we have to get rid of these land-based assumptions to think about how things work on the ocean. One of the basic things you have to flip is how gravity is your friend on the ocean. So when we build things on land, we have to drive down into the bedrock and build something straight up, and it's like really hard to do. But on the ocean, instead of building a skyscraper, you want to build a seascraper. Flip that upside down.
Yeah.
And so the deeper you go, the more stable it is. And so going deeper and deeper, you could actually create more stability. And width is really good. You don't want to build high, but you want to build wide. And the wider you go, the more stable it is. And so there's lots of space on the ocean to experiment with these sort of societies.
You know, I remember back there were a couple of folks who had this idea of taking an old cruise ship and turning it into condominiums. It would be sailing all the time, and it would obviously have to port to let people on and off. But really, this isn't that far from that, except that there are all kinds of sizes and shapes and designs that could come into play, plus these little cities that might crop up. And you've got public areas and park areas. And talk about some of the thinking around creating community around seasteading.
Well, the idea is once you, and this is already panning out, once you create platforms for new societies, the most exciting pioneer people in every field come running out there with their better idea how to do things, whether it's blockchain or engineering or anything like that. So there are such a variety of designs for how seasteads could work. It depends on whether you want to work with width to create stability or depth to create stability. But people have ideas for floating solar farms. Solar is 20% more efficient on the ocean than it is on land because you can use the water to cool solar panels.
Yep.
Wave energy is abundant on the ocean, as is wind energy. And we already have floating wind turbines off the coast of Scotland, supporting hundreds of people with energy.
Well, and energy is important because obviously you can look at someone who's just retired and wants to live on the water, but that's not what this is really about. If you create vibrant society where people are doing work and there's a lot of nomadic workers that could work anywhere, there you're going to have energy. You know, it's one of the premises, and yet that's totally available here.
Yeah, that first tiny seastead that ocean builders made, entirely all of its energy from solar. So solar is just getting more and more efficient. Energy is abundant on the ocean. I mean, you can think of the waves as being a challenge. You can also think of it as, imagine if you just parked your house on top of this endless source of energy, and if you could capture some of that wind energy. And some of my colleagues are working on floating wave breakers that would not only surround the seastead and break the waves as it's coming in, but absorb the energy in such a way as to pay for the wave breaker. So you can just scale these things up indefinitely. And they are, in fact, working in San Lucia, the very place that published this article saying seasteads could work well in our country. So this is a global movement of people getting interested in how you could solve problems using the freedom and the power of the sea.
We're talking to Joe Quirk about seasteading, and we'll cover more when we get back. We'll also play real estate trivia next. You're tuned to the Real Estate Guys radio program. I'm your host, Robert Helms.
Real estate investment advice right in your mailbox. Sign up for the free Real Estate Guys newsletter at realestateguysradio.com.
Are you achieving everything you want in life? What if there was a time-tested way for you to get everything you've dreamed of? The most successful people in life set goals and keep themselves accountable. But how? The good news is that it's not rocket science. You too can learn the skills and unleash the motivation that will create success in your life. And now is the time. Hi, this is Robert Helms, and I'd like to personally invite you to attend Create Your Future, the 2020 Goals Retreat, January 17th to 19th in beautiful Lake Las Vegas, Nevada. This unique weekend has been called phenomenal, inspirational, and life-changing by the thousands of people that have attended. Hear from some of them and find out more at realestateguysradio.com under events, or call 888-489-7723, extension 18. Get your life back on track, physically, spiritually, and financially. Attend the 2020 Goals Retreat on the third weekend of the new year. Click events at realestateguysradio.com to register. This is no dress rehearsal. Live the life you were meant to. Visit realestateguysradio.com or call 888-489-7723, extension 18 today.
If you love real estate and have always wanted to own your own business, listen up. The Real Estate Guys and their panel of experts want to teach you how to go full-time fast in the real estate syndication business. These next few years may go down in history as one of the best times ever to acquire investment real estate. There are deals everywhere if you know where to look and how to assemble the resources. The Secrets of Successful Syndication Seminar will show you how to make big money doing big deals from a team of experts that have syndicated projects totaling more than $1 billion. Don't wait for someone to give you a raise or create a job for you. Attend the Secrets of Successful Syndication and learn how to build a team, raise capital, find deals, and make full-time money in 6 months or less. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events. All the big players use syndication as a way to diversify risk, optimize profits, and earn big money. You can too. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click on events.
Hi, this is Kevin Harrington, original shark from the hit TV show Shark Tank, and you're listening to The Real Estate Guys.
Welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. Thanks for tuning into the show. Hey, if you've ever wanted to do bigger deals using other people's money, then come on out to the Secrets of Successful Syndication right around the corner at the end of September in Dallas, Texas. All the details are the website at realestateguysradio.com. We're talking about taking over the oceans, seasteading. And we have the president of the Seasteading Institute, Joe Quirk, with us. Before we get back to that interview, it's time to play real estate trivia. It's a chance for you to win a prize, and it's a great one that has something to do with our talk today. All you have to do is be the first person with the right answer to today's trivia question. When you hear the question, thinking of the answer, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. You want to include your name, the answer to the trivia question, and your mailing address, because if you're the winner, we're going to send you Joe's book. Yeah, it's called Seasteading, How Floating Nations Will Restore the Environment, Enrich the Poor, Cure the Sick, and Liberate Humanity from Politicians by Joe Quirk and Patry Friedman. That could be yours if you know today's real estate trivia question. Last week on The Real Estate Guys, we had John Larson talking about finding yield in places like Dallas, Texas, and we asked this, name the official state mammal of the state of Texas. Well, a lot of fun guesses, but the actual official state mammal of Texas is the armadillo. Here's our real estate trivia question for this week. Of all the oceans on Earth, which is the smallest? Yeah, name the world's smallest ocean. Now, it's not really small, but it's always compared to what? So there's a number of oceans, And there's one that's the largest. That would be the Pacific Ocean, by the way. And there's one that's the smallest. What's the name of that ocean? If you know or just want to guess, send your best guess to trivia@realestateguysradio.com. Include your name, your guess, and your mailing address. Because if you're the winner, we're going to send you Joe Quirk and Patry Friedman's book, Seasteading. That's today's real estate trivia question. We're talking to our good friend Joe Quirk about seasteading, and the Seasteading Institute was born many years ago. And talk about your partners there, because it's a pretty interesting way that it evolved and who's behind it.
Yeah, it started with, we'll say, Patry Friedman, who happens to be the son of David Friedman and the grandson of Milton Friedman.
Yeah.
So I want to get you the legacy there. So David Friedman wrote a book called The Machinery of Freedom,
right,
which is all proposing whimsically what if houses were on wheels and you could move about and choose the governments you want, then you would have an economic solution to political problems.
Yeah.
A decade later, Milton Friedman published The Freedom to Choose with his wife Rose, which is about what if people could choose the sort of societies they wanted, if they could choose to be governed less. You'd have competition among different governance systems and something new would emerge. Then along comes Patry Friedman and says, well, what if you just do this on the ocean and you could move about instead of you're all locked together in one giant piece of land, you could move city blocks around and choose the neighbors you want. This would be a practical application. I think of it as the machinery of the freedom to choose. And he called it seasteading, which was a phrase coined by Wayne Gramlich, his partner at the time. So Peter Thiel, co-founder of PayPal, first outside investor in Facebook, very futuristic investor and philanthropist,
and
billionaire, read Patry's blog, invited him for lunch, and said, we should move forward research on this with a nonprofit. And was the initial funder and co-founder with Patry of the nonprofit, the Seasteading Institute. So that was 2008, just a little bit more than 10 years ago. And I didn't hear about it until many years later when I met Patry Friedman at Burning Man. And because 6 weeks before I'd been on a cruise ship, and I could see that floating societies can work better, and I was struck that the best standard of living I'd ever had on that cruise ship cost less per night than the coastal hotel I'd stayed in the night before.
Right.
So I was trying to figure that out. Like, what is it that's unique about this ship? Anyone who's been to Burning Man 14 times, as I have, becomes interested in how rules evolve in interesting ways that are not predictable given their original parameters.
Yep, whole different type of society.
Yes, and once Patry spoke about floating societies, I'm like, yeah, I can see humanity going in that direction. Oh, interesting, it'd be like a startup societies on the ocean. It wasn't until I noticed that the Seasteading Institute logo is based on the Burning Man logo. The Burning Man logo is a man holding his arms to the sky. The Seasteading logo is a man holding his arms to the sky, balanced on water and holding up a big cruise ship.
Yeah.
And I just became curious, this makes no sense to me. Why would a city in the desert inspire cities on the ocean?
A temporary city in the desert.
Yes. And when I read Patry's blog and he elucidated how, you know, if cities were modular and they floated and you had variation in societies and selection by citizens, we would get evolution in the service of governance itself, which I think is one of the most important problems that humanity has to solve for the future. And I said, man, you know, this can't be just a discussion among Silicon Valley bloggers. You got to let me write a mainstream pop book for this, because we got to attract 1,000 times more experts to get this done.
Well, and you and Patry wrote that very book, and the book is great. You really get into the details about lots of different angles of it, but one of the things you talk about is just this whole idea that the way that a government governing of a people, you know, has evolved could be completely changed with seasteading, because you would start out by design and what the rules are going to be and who's going to be, you know, keeping those rules, you know, intact and or not, and how do you vote with your seastead the kind of society you want to be a part of.
Right. So on a cruise ship, we don't get together and argue about, you know, who the captain's going to be. And let's vote on who's going to represent our ideas. All we have to do is choose among different cruise lines, and magically good rules and good governance emerges. And we don't even know who the dictator is. I said on the cruise ship that essentially a captain is sort of like a de facto dictator.
Yeah.
But the reason he doesn't flog us and keel haul us is because we can write a negative Yahoo review or switch to another cruise line. And that's also true of the employees. The governance on cruise ships keeps getting better, not because we argue, but because we can choose. Now, if things like cruise ships floated permanently and we could switch among them, then we wouldn't have politicians, we'd have governance providers competing to please us. And if they'd go out of business if they don't do a good job. So this is what excites me the most about seasteading, is the power of people to choose among governance providers.
You know, you talked on the summit about some of the different ways that could go. And obviously, it's just starting out. But a lot of folks, you know, figure, well, hey, if it was my world, I'd do it this way. Well, it could be your world. It could be your country. It could be your voluntary assembling of a bunch of other like-minded people, choose to collect around a certain ideology or a certain religion or a certain ethnicity, or it could be a thousand different things.
Yeah, and your annoying friend that always argues about his crazy ideology like I do, you could eventually say, like, why don't you get your allies together and go out there and seastead it and demonstrate in reality instead of trying to convince me? And then all your political opponents who you don't like, hey, go get your seastead and go build your society. I'm going to be here to laugh at you if it fails, but then maybe I'll learn something and be humbled if something works in a unique way. You know, people are diverse. They should have diverse societies. They should be able to choose among them, and the people that provide them should pay the consequences of failure and profit if they succeed.
You know, to some degree, that is a tenet of, you know, society, where if I don't like it in one part of town or in one county or in one state, I can move. And that's a big thing, to uproot my life and my family and my business and move somewhere else. You know, a lot of folks, like on the summit, we talked with Peter Schiff about his decision to move to Puerto Rico based on, you know, what they're doing there with the ability to have a lower tax jurisdiction. That's just one reason why people might move. Now, some real estate investors laugh at that because we can get down to zero tax as real estate investors without having to move. But if I want to spend time around people that think like me, talk like me, or maybe I want to spend time where it's everybody's different, then there's only a certain number of places you can go. What seasteading potentially allows is to create a completely new paradigm.
Yes, and you can get together with the people who agree with you and create something new from the governance up, from the ground up. The only catch is you can't use the ground, but that's what's good about it. You can detach, you can bring your own land and detach and move about. And right now, actually, on the Sacramento Delta, there's something called Ephemeral. It's Burning Man on the Water. It's a yearly festival of people who love seasteading. It was founded by the Seasteading Institute. And they get together and they hook up rafts and they try to find ways of living together.
Yeah.
And they have conflicts and people break off the next year and make different islands, and then they make up and put islands back together. The social dynamics of seasteading are working already on this little island of Ephemeral that happens once a month, and it's actually happening right now on the Sacramento Delta. And the way I know it succeeded is that, you know, when I attended the first time, everyone knew who I was. When I attended 2 or 3 years ago, I was walking around, people were like, who are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm Joe the Seasteader. And half of them said, see, what is that?
Wow.
So now people are already choosing it because it's cool and interesting, not because they have some kind of ideology of seasteading.
So, Joe, what are the big impediments? You've got this big, big, huge, audacious idea. And how do you get from, I know you spend a lot of time spreading the word about it, which we're happy to help in because it's such a cool idea. But what are the impediments to this becoming a legitimate thing that people really can consider as a life choice?
All we need now is a host nation to let us set up in their territorial waters with some legislation for freedom. And the only remaining challenge is misunderstanding. So I used to talk about, well, waves are the big challenge. Well, bringing the price point down is the big challenge. Well, food is the big challenge. All those technical challenges have been solved.
Yeah.
We can start now. The only remaining challenge is getting people to change their paradigm and how they think and get past their initial reaction, like, this could never work. What about pirates? What about tsunamis? That's why I'm making these short videos answering all those questions so I can answer it clearly. But yes, once we have like a host government willing to legislate this at no cost to themselves because we'll bring our own land. I think once we demonstrate how seasteading works, we can show how this can be an improvement over our existing societies, and we don't have to spend all our time explaining.
Well, and it's not lost on me and hopefully not the listeners that this little conflict in Thailand has actually been a testing of the boundaries, and thankfully your friends are safe, so that means it's a good part of the story, because that's going to continue to happen. Happen on the technology side, I'm sure, as you're trying to figure out how to get the cost down and make sure it's stable in the water. You got to try a lot of things to see what really works. That's going to be the case here. So I think staying connected is important. Let's talk about your book and how people can get it. Easiest way to get a hold of that. I know you can just go to Amazon and get it.
Yep, you can go to Amazon and get it. It's published by Simon & Schuster. It's called Seasteading: How Floating Nations Will Restore the Environment, Enrich the Poor, Cure the Sick, and Liberate Humanity from Politicians. And I have that audacious title because I want people to say, it can't do all those things. And then I feature what I call an aquapreneur in the book. There's eight of them that are solve each of those problems through seasteading. And I explain what their vision is and what they're trying to do. And it gives you a new optimistic vision of what the world could be when you see it through the eyes of these interesting people.
Well, it's fun to watch how the brain trust is increasing too, right? To go from just this abstract idea to something that is starting to really form out, so you can see, yeah, I could live in a tiny home, or maybe I don't want to live in a tiny home. I want a beautiful yacht, or no, I want to be with other people, or I'm thinking from the landlord perspective. Boy, I'd like to figure out how to house some of the people that are going to want to live here to serve others and earn income who maybe can't afford their own unit but would stay in my seastead apartment. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do to help this thing evolve. Talk about what the work is of the nonprofit organization and how people can help.
So the nonprofit organization, there's just two of us, and we've accomplished amazing things. I mean, we're in the news. We've gotten the word out. My friends at Ocean Builders, Chad and Nadia, who were the first tenants on the seastead, they took a huge sacrifice in order to make this an international topic of conversation. So we're negotiating with heads of state around the world. So I would put us up against any other nonprofit for what we're able to accomplish. And I think it's another thing that people have to think outside. We wear a t-shirt saying, stop arguing, start seasteading. And most kind of libertarian nonprofits are devoted to education, to persuasion, and we still haven't persuaded governments to change their minds. But seasteaders actually plan to demonstrate free societies on the ocean. They plan to give people the technology to demonstrate their own ideas. So we are always relying entirely on donors, on individual donors supporting us and what we do. Over 1,000 people have donated to the Institute since it started. And there's probably at this point 4 or 5 seasteading companies that are working to create seasteads with different kinds of technologies and techniques that have been inspired directly by what we do and wear seasteading buttons. So this is the way forward. This is the next frontier, and we're making it happen, and I'm really, really proud of the Seasteading Institute.
They say it takes 20 years to become an overnight success, so a little longer and you'll be there. Awesome stuff. If you're interested in learning more, seasteading.org is where you can go, or get Joe's great book. Thanks for being on the program.
Thanks, Robert. You are really good at this.
There's Joe Quirk. When we come back, more from the Real Estate Guys. Stay tuned.
Need help with your real estate investment portfolio? Check out the resources page at realestateguysradio.com.
If you've been listening to the Real Estate Guys for a while, then you've heard about the legendary Investor Summit. Simply put, it's the highest level event we do, and the content, faculty, and attendees are amazing. If you're serious about taking your real estate investment to the next level, consider joining us. You'll spend more than a week with like-minded investors, world-class educators, and real-world professionals, and you'll have a blast. It all begins June 11th, 2020 in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Visit realestateguysradio.com and click the tab that says Summit to learn more and get on the advance notice list. We'll spend 2.5 days on land, learning and networking, then jump aboard a luxury cruise ship for more classes, roundtable discussions, great dinner conversations, and a ton of fun. Go to realestateguysradio.com and click Summit and make plans to hang out with the Real Estate Guys and an all-star faculty on the 18th annual Investor Summit at Sea.
Real Estate Guys listeners, are you tired of losing real estate deals due to financing issues? Have you had enough of waiting on banks, lenders, and investor groups to fund new projects? What if there were a way to eliminate all the hassle and invest in real estate on your own terms? I'm here to tell you there is. Patrick Donahoe here from Paradigm Life. I'm an Investopedia top 100 most influential financial advisor, and I recently wrote a best-selling book about the financial strategy that changed my entire investment model and the one that could change yours. To get a copy of my book for free and learn how you can maximize your real estate portfolio by acting as your own bank, send an email to mybank@realestateguysradio.com. Don't make another real estate deal without reading my book first. Email mybank@realestateguysradio.com now to get your copy for free.
Memphis is famous for being the home of the king of rock and roll, but it's also the king of cash flow. If you're looking for affordable cash flow properties, it's hard to beat Memphis. Get your portfolio rocking and more cash flowing your way by calling Terry Kerr at Mid-South Home Buyers. Terry's the king of turnkey properties. Contact Terry through the resource section at realestateguysradio.com. And be sure to order Terry's Tips for Turnkey Rental Property Investing Report. It's free. Just send your request to turnkey@realestateguysradio.com.
Hi, this is Peter Schiff, and you are listening to The Real Estate Guys.
And welcome back to The Real Estate Guys radio program. We're so glad you're here. Tell a friend about The Real Estate Guys. Oh my gosh, great to hear from Joe Quirk.
Yeah, you know, it's just so interesting because when we first heard of this, at least for me, when I first heard of it, it just seemed to me to be something that was just so far out there. And then I started, again, thinking about just history and how things worked. And to bring it a little bit more close to home, you think about Las Vegas. You and I were very active at one point in Las Vegas and the Las Vegas real estate market. But real estate in Las Vegas was basically just a big desert, and nobody wanted anything to do with it. And then some people who just wanted to get out from underneath the thumb of government and have more freedom basically moved there and started building, and now it's become this gigantic metropolis with millions of people living there and billions of dollars of commerce, but it all started with a burning desire to be free. And I think that, you know, before anybody who's listening to this dismisses this whole thing, it may be pretty far ahead of the curve. You know, you may not have the spunk to be a pioneer. Those are the people that end up with arrows both in the front and the back. But the settlers, I mean, imagine being able to be a part of getting involved in something after some of the heavy lifting is done, but there's still gobs of opportunity left. You're talking about, from an Earth surface perspective, two-thirds. So, you know, I can't say, hey, everybody, let's all invest in seasteading, but I'm definitely going to be paying attention to it to see how this thing evolves.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea. And, you know, from a real estate perspective, one of the things Joe said on the summit at sea was they've got a lot of this figured out. They've got the physical part and the construction elements and how to create water and harness power and figure out food. And they've got all that figured out because they got smart people thinking about that. And they've been kind of thinking through this whole, how do you create a government and what would that look like and what the parameters would be and would you be ancillary to another government or on your own and just those kinds of thoughts. But what they really hadn't figured out is sales and marketing. How do you sell this stuff? And so on the summit, here's a group of real estate entrepreneurs going, we have some ideas about that. And it's funny, talking to Joe after the interview, since the summit, he's been approached to do several podcasts, and he's got lots of people interested in physically buying and putting together one of these units. I mean, I don't think that's me yet, but at some point could be fascinating, especially from an investment point of view. So he doesn't have anything to sell you. He's not here to, you know, raise capital, any of that kind of stuff. We just thought it's such an interesting idea. We had a great time with Joe on the summit. And of course, if you heard the show that we recorded in the summit, Joe had a small part there. So we gave you kind of a taste, but we had an opportunity to get back together. And I thought, let's just find out what's happening, especially in light of this situation that happened with the first seastead. So as it works, people are now, based on that, coming out saying, wait a minute, we're interested. What about our country? What about our ocean? What about our technology? And that's what happens to a good idea. So we like to look at all kinds of different markets and different product types and different demographics. And we just thought seasteading hey, that could be the future.
Yeah, it's definitely pretty much out of the box. But, you know, if you really think about it, entrepreneurs respond to demand. And in the beginning, you get a bunch of fringe folks that have an idea about doing something like Bitcoin or colonizing the desert, you know, as we talked about earlier in southern Nevada, or coming across an ocean and coming to the new world. You know, you can even see the same thing when a community begins to get overpriced. And we saw this happen in the San Francisco Bay Area. As more and more people moved because of jobs and weather and the opportunities, it priced the real estate around the San Francisco Bay Area so much that people were moving out to the peripheral markets. And so those peripheral markets really boomed. And so sometimes that can happen too. So the principles here that we can glean definitely apply for real estate investors. And so now there's beginning to be demand. And you look around the world geopolitically and some of the turmoil that's going on in politics, I think people are kind of getting tired of the two-party system. I don't know that anybody would look at, say, Donald Trump and say that he was a mainstream Republican. He was kind of like the second coming of Ross Perot. It was giving people a choice that wasn't Democrat and really wasn't Republican either. You look at what's going on in Britain with Brexit, and you can look around the world. I mean, there's protests going on in Hong Kong. And so you realize that people are desperate to be free. And when they are oppressed and feel like they don't have choice, there's the purists who are just doing it from a political motivation. But then once the demand manifests, that's when the entrepreneurs come in and go, hey, you know what? I think there's some money to be made here. And I think that what's happening now, and of course, we're very, very early in the curve, but I think what's happening now is there's beginning to be a sense that there could be some real demand for this. And people with money, people with business chops are looking at it going, you know what? Might not be too long till there's some real opportunity. And Joe mentioned if they can get a government or somebody that has some ability to, I don't know if safeguard is the right word, but not harass them and allow them to kind of build this thing and get it going in the waters off of a coast of a government that isn't going to be hostile to it, they can really prove the concept. And then it's going to be really interesting to see how fast the idea spreads.
You know, there's a similar idea that's already taking place on land in some areas. That's a topic for another day, but I met with some developers who've made a great deal of progress, 6 years of progress with a nation to create kind of a society outside of the existing government. So people are definitely thinking this way. I think the bigger picture is just the nod to creativity. Just because something hasn't been done doesn't mean you can't find people that'll rise up to do it. So big thanks to Joe Quirk for sharing his enthusiasm and all his great information. And if you're looking for a good place to run into new ideas, well, then come join us at the New Orleans Investment Conference. It happens once a year. The 45th year of this conference takes place November 1st through the 4th. The real estate guys are going to be there. We'll have some presentations. We'll have our usual cocktail party, which we invite our listeners to. So it's a cool, cool way to meet many of the featured speakers, hang out with the real estate guys, and meet other listeners. If you want information about the conference, which is a blast, and in New Orleans, so it's cool and fun, plus our private party, just send an email to neworleans@realestateguysradio.com. We'll get you all the details. Until next week, go out and make some equity happen.
This episode of the Real Estate Guys Radio Show is brought to you by Paradigm Life, powerful cash management strategies using life insurance. Learn more at beyourbank.com. Mid-South Home Buyers, low-cost, turnkey cash flow properties in Memphis, Tennessee. Corporate Direct, asset protection strategies for real estate investors from attorney and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton. Find these and other great companies under the Resources tab at realestateguysradio.com. To learn how you can expose your product or service to the Real Estate Guys audience, call 888-489-7723, extension 4. That's 888-489-7723, extension 4. Or use the feedback page at realestateguysradio.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week right here on the Real Estate Guys Radio Show.